Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. In this hour, comedy. Later on, we hear the Milton Berle Show, but right now, it's the Judy Canova Program, heard on CBS on November 9th, 1943.
The Judy Canova Program will follow in just a moment.
What is the 14-day palm olive plan?
Yes, what is the 14-day palm olive plan?
Ladies, it's easy. It has been proved to bring lovelier complexions to 2 out of 3 women. Here's all you do.
3 times each day, clean your skin with palm olive soap. Then each time, take 1 minute more to massage palm olive's beautifying lather into your skin like a cream. Then rinse.
It sounds simple, but listen. 36 doctors proved this palm olive plan brings a lovelier complexion to 2 out of 3 women. No matter what type of skin you have, dry or oily, the 14-day palm olive plan really works.
For a breath that's sweet and a smile that dazzles, it's Colgate Tooth Powder. And for a riot of fun, it's America's wacky, wistful, wonderful scatterbrain, Judy Canova.
Howdy, folks, howdy, and welcome to Rancho Canova. Well, sir, I sure had me a time today. I come into Hollywood to get me a turkey. I had to come in on the bus, and it was a half hour late. You know, they ought to call them things bustles instead of buses. They're always behind. That there bus, it was sure crowded up. Well, they had a sailor on there, and he had one of them little candid cameras, you know, and he's snapping pictures all over the place. Well, sir, we went around the curve, and an awful, terrible thing happened. I swallowed the camera. Yep, and now I have to sit home tonight in a dark room and see what develops. It really was crowded, though. As a matter of fact, it was so crowded, everybody had to breathe side saddle. You know, I got so tired of standing up, I finally says to a feller sitting there, I says, "Listen here, would you mind if I sat on your knee?" He says, "I wouldn't do that if I was you." I says, "You mean I'm too heavy?" He says, "No, I'm sitting on an old lady now." Well, sir, I finally got into Hollywood, and I headed straight for one of them markets for my turkey. I looked around there, and finally I seen a nice turkey, and I was feeling him all over, you know, to see if he's tender. And he turned his head, looked up at me, and he says, "Under the left wing, madam, it itches." that butcher, though, he was sure getting high prices for turkeys. I told him a thing or three, all right. Well, I complained so much, he finally handed me an egg, and he says, "Here, if you want a cheap turkey, take this home and set on it." The nerve of that butcher. Turned out to be a duck anyhow. And now, folks, I'd like to sing as my first song tonight, Fireball Mail. Here she comes, look at her roll. There she goes, eating that coal. Watch her fly, look at her sail. Let her bye, 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 it's a fireball mail. Watch her go, look at her steam. Hear her blow, her whistle and scream. Like a hound wagging his tail. Look, Dallas bound, 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 it's a fireball mail. Hadley lonely. Engineer, making up time. Tracks are clear. Oh, look at her climb. See that freight clear in the rail. I bet she's late, 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 late. That's a fireball mail. Watch her swerve. Ha ha! Look at her sway. Ah, get that curve. Get that curve right out of the way. Watch her fly. Look at her sail. Oh, let her bye, bye, bye. It's a fireball mail. Let her bye. Let her bye. Let her fire.
Hello, Judy.
Oh, hello, Mr. Niles. Say, did I tell you we were all going duck hunting tomorrow morning?
No, but you can count me in. Boy, I love duck hunting. By the way, Judy, have you got a gun?
Sure. I got everything but a hunting dog. Shucks, I wish I had my old hunting dog. You know, I had one of them little German dash hounds, but he died.
Oh, that's too bad. What happened?
He met his end going around a tree.
Good grief. What was that?
Gee, I don't know. Geranium. Geranium!
Come in, honey.
What in the world happened?
I was cleaning your shotgun, honey, and I wanted to see if it was loaded.
Well?
You know that pretty swinging door between the kitchen and the dining room? The one with the bird's eye maple panels?
Yeah.
Well, you got a screen door there now. Say, Miss Judy, you know I sure wish my boyfriend Pomeroy was here to go hunting with us. I got a letter yesterday from him. He says he got shot an elephant that weighed 5,000 pounds.
Bull?
Well, he exaggerates a little.
Oh, Geranium, Geranium, stop that.
Oh, but honey, he is a real good hunter. Well, I was with him one time and he shot a big grizzly bear. Shot the bear in the foot, knocked all his teeth out.
Oh, now, wait a minute. If he shot the bear in the foot, how could he knock the bear's teeth out?
Well, the bear was biting his nails at the time.
Well, enough of this here talk. Come on, let's all go out in the corral and practice some shots. Come on, Mr. Niles and Geranium.
Yes,
sir. Oh, look, there's Sylvester over there by the barn. Sylvester!
Hello, Miss Judy.
Hi.
Gosh, I'm certainly sick of the smell of this stuff. Say, I've been spraying this rowboat with shellac to make it waterproof.
You ain't only spraying with shellac.
Oh, suffering succotash. You're always casting aspersions on my efforts. You'll sing a different tune tomorrow when you're sitting in a nice dry boat out in that soggy swamp.
Start bailing, it's leaking already.
Well, never mind the boat. I'm going to try a little target practice and sharpen up my shooting eye. Look, you see that old owl setting up there blinking at us? Watch this. Shucks, I wish Grandpappy had quit roosting in them trees.
Judy, you certainly need some practice. Are your eyes bad?
What?
Eyes bad.
Oh, is it? Geranium, Geranium, go pick an apple off that tree over there and put it on your head, and I'll shoot it off.
You gonna shoot what off of who's which?
Now, listen here. There ain't nothing to be afraid of, Geranium. Don't you remember William Tell shot an apple off his son's head?
Yeah, whatever become of that boy?
Now, don't act like a baby. Put the apple on your head and forget about it.
Say, why don't we try it on a watermelon first?
Are you kidding? Why, listen here, I can see the apple from here. It's that big round thing.
That big round thing is my head. That little thing on top of it's the apple.
Now, wait a minute, Judy. Are you sure you can do this?
Why, sure, Mr. Niles. Geranium, stand there a minute till I find my glasses.
Glasses? That's all I want to know. S.O.S.! S.O.S.!
Now, look, I'll take a practice shot first. I'm going to shoot that moose out there in that field.
Some moose. You knocked the milk pail right out of under.
Judy, I think I better show you how to shoot that thing. You see that gong hanging on the barn? Well, watch this. There you are.
Oh, shucks. I can do that. Watch. Huh, that must have gone by way of Cucamonga. I'll try one more. Watch this. What do you think of that, Mr. Niles?
That's the first time I ever heard a preview of a gun going off.
Well, that's enough practice. Get ready, Geranium.
Please, Miss Judy, let's call this thing off. Please don't shoot that thing at me. Put that pistol down, babe. Put that pistol down.
Why, Geranium, you're turning white.
Are you kidding?
Well, never mind now. Ready? Aim. Fire. Geranium, Geranium, come back here. Why are you running?
I got to stay ahead of this bullet.
Yes, Judy, and I think I'll take a powder.
Why, Mr. Niles, I wouldn't plug you.
Well, no, plugging is my job. Plugging for Colgate tooth powder. Folks, you could go hunting around for months, but you can't duck this fact that if you want a breath that's sweet and a smile that dazzles, use Colgate tooth powder.
I get you, Mr. Niles. Colgate tooth powder on your brush is better than a bird from your friend.
That's right. If you want to bag your limit of dates, use the tooth powder that's double-barreled ammunition. Use Colgate tooth powder.
Look, here's Eddie Dean.
Hello, Miss Judy. Hiya,
Niles. Hi, Eddie.
Ah, you're just in time, Eddie. Here, put this apple on your head.
Oh, a game. I love games.
Yeah, you'll sure get a bang out of this one.
Come on, Ed, put the apple on your head.
I'll put it on top of my 10-gallon hat.
Hey, wait a minute, Judy. Give me that gun. I've been waiting for this.
Out! There went my left ear. Out! There went my right ear.
Well, why doesn't he shoot back? He's got a gun.
He can't see. His ears was holding his hat up.
Well, will somebody lend me their ears?
What for?
I'd like to sing a song.
Well, now, there's a real song cue if I ever heard one. What'll it be, Eddie?
A little thing called I'll Wait for You, Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Wait for me, Mary, till the world will sing again. Till the world will smile again, and the smile's in style again. Wait for me, Mary, by the moonlit garden gate, where my heart and I would wait for you. There are so many things I want to tell you, little words that I never told before. And I hope that it won't be hard to sell you all the dreams I have in store. So wait for me, Mary, till the world will sing again, till I bring my love again to you. There are so many things I want to tell you, little words that I never told before. And I hope that it won't be hard to sell you all the dreams I have in store. So wait for me, Mary, till the world will sing again, till I bring my love again to you.
It's cold sleeping on this ground. Come on, Judy. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. Let's get started if we want to get those ducks. I built a nice blind for you to shoot from.
A blind, Mr. Niles? What's a blind?
Well, a blind is something you hide in until the thing you're hunting for goes by.
Oh, you mean like a dark corner on Hollywood Boulevard. Well, I'll wake up the rest of them. Come on, Sylvester. Wake up. It's 6 o'clock.
Oh, Eddie.
Hey, what's going on here? Oh, suffering thuggish ass! Run for your lives, everybody! The world is on fire!
Sylvester, that's the sun coming up.
How would he know the sun? He's been in a fog all his life.
Well, I reckon everybody's ready. Just one more thing we gotta do.
Judy, what's the idea of firing that gun?
Well, everybody else is up, so I thought I'd better wake up the ducks.
Oh, Golly, it's a wonder you didn't scare all the ducks away. Now, quiet, everybody. Get down in these weeds. The ducks will start flying any minute.
Oh, boy, watch me shoot their tails off with my trusty 38.
A 38? You can't shoot a duck with a 38. You'll make too big a hole in the bird.
Oh, shucks. And I'll use my BB gun.
No, a BB makes too small a hole in the bird.
Then I'll have to use my slingshot.
Oh, no, a slingshot is too cruel.
Do you mind if I just give him a dirty look?
Say, honey, I don't like this creeping around out here in these swamps and woods.
Oh, geranium, there ain't nothing to be afraid of.
Well, I'll never forget the time I was walking through the woods when suddenly I was surrounded by five bears. One sat on my head, one sat on my chest, one sat on my legs, and the other one sat on my arms.
Were you scared, geranium?
I sure was, but I found out they wasn't going to hurt me.
Well, if it didn't hurt you, what'd they want?
They just wanted to sit around and chew the fat a while.
All right, Judy, let's sneak up to the lake. Follow me through these weeds.
You know something? This reminds me of the time I was a hunting bear.
It does?
Yep. The weeds tickle me then, too.
Look. Here comes a duck. I wonder if it's a drake or a hen.
That's something that don't interest another duck. My, I sure wish a pork chop would fly by.
Geranium, pork chops don't fly.
Honey, you ain't never ate at my house.
Now, quiet, everybody. That duck is going to fly right over our heads. Judy, you take the first shot. All right, Judy, fire.
Sylvester, didn't you load these guns?
Why, certainly. I filled them with salt, sage, and celery.
Well, what's the idea?
Well, I figured if you shot one, he'd come down already stuffed. Hey, you've got to admit, I use my brains. I'm a thinker.
You lisp, too, don't you?
Quick now, everybody load up. Here comes that duck again.
Listen, here, aren't you ashamed of yourselves of fighting over that poor little duck? Just look at the poor little thing. You poor, poor duck. You poor, poor duck. You poor, poor. We're a bunch of low killers, that's what we are. Would any of you eat that poor little duck?
Oh, gee, I feel like a murderer myself. I wouldn't eat it.
Neither would I. I wouldn't touch the thing.
I'd rather go hungry myself.
Just a second. Where is the duck? He's disappeared.
Yes, where is the duck, Judy?
Anybody got a toothpick?
Hey, Judy, before you sing your next song, I'd like to talk to all the folks listening in, whether they're hunters or not. Judy Canova says that if you want to get anywhere these days, you've got to have more than just a flash in your pan. You know, more than just a smile. Now, a smile that dazzles is always good for a look-see. But in the clinches, you've also got to have a breath that's sweet to make a yes man out of a no man. Depend upon Colgate tooth powder to do both jobs, for it actually cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. Yes, Colgate tooth powder not only removes dull surface film and leaves your teeth gleaming with all their natural brilliance, but at the same time, Colgate stops oral unpleasing breath. Stops it instantly in 7 cases out of 10, as scientific tests have definitely proved. Simply brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate tooth powder, and I'll promise you a breath that's sweet and a smile that dazzles. And now Judy sings for you one of her popular hill tunes, I'll Wait for You.
wait too long, 'cause I'll be lonely, my one and only. I'll wait for you when we're apart. I'll never forget you. I'll still recall the things you do. For you I'll pine, for you I'll pray, dear, both night and day, dear. I'll wait for you.
Take a minute to speak to you folks about the fat salvage drive. It seems that some of you have been pouring waste kitchen fats in glass containers. Now, glass jars sometimes get broke when you turn them into the butcher shop, and worse still, glass jars are causing plant accidents and breakdowns where the waste fat is converted into glycerin. And the worst part of all is this is that this fat is desperately needed for making gunpowder and medicine. But fat which has broken glass in it has to be thrown away. It can't be used. So from now on, strain that old kitchen fat into tin cans, soup cans, fruit cans, vegetable cans, coffee cans. Any kind of tin can will do. Don't forget, folks, keep your waste fats in a tin can. Then take it to your butcher at once. It's needed now. Well, folks, we'll be seeing all of you at Rancho Canova next Tuesday night at this very same time. So until then, this is Judy Canova saying thanks a lot and good night. Good night, Chet.
This is Ken Niles saying, for a breath that's sweet and a smile that dazzles, use Colgate tooth powder. Well, we'll see you all next Tuesday. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Comedian Judy Canova on Tuned to Yesterday, a CBS radio broadcast from November 9th, 1943. You're listening to an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. And now on to the Milton Berle Show, a new one. In terms of his career trajectory, he had been on the CBS radio network for several years and made the switch to NBC for the 1947 season. With a lot of radio promotion backing it, he appeared on the Guest Star Show for the Treasury Department alongside Kenny Delmar from the Fred Allen program, where they imitated famous radio comedians. He also appeared on the Fred Allen Show asking Allen to be his new singer, and a couple of days before that was on the reverse of a quiz program at Pace to Be Ignorant, where he was a contestant for the sole purpose of promoting his new program. Let's hear it now with a salute to prize fighting from December 9th, 1947 on NBC.
The Milton Berle Show.
Come on, fill in my dreams. Come on, From Radio City in New York, here is the Milton Berle Show. With Bert Tilton, Jack Albertson, Johnny Gibson, Charlie Irving, Billy Sands, our singing star Dick Harney, the music of Ray Block and his orchestra, and yours truly, Frank Keller. Ladies and gentlemen.
I never heard you better.
Ladies and gentlemen, in recognition of last Friday's championship fight, we salute prize fighting. We now bring you a comedian who started out to be a pugilist and ended up just being Pew. And here he is, Milton Berle.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Waxy. And good evening. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Gallup, what a fight that Walcott-Lewis fight was. I was in Walcott's corner giving him advice. Oh, what strategy. He played the game of stay away. That's why Jersey Joe is alive today. We kept him up for 15 rounds. What kept him up for 15 rounds? His suspenders, dear. His suspenders, dear. Oh, Berle, nothing. Don't go away, folks. Lots of funny commercials coming up. All yucks.
Berle, were you actually in Walcott's corner?
Repeat that, Mr. Gallup.
I say, Berle, were you actually in Walcott's corner?
Great delivery. No material, but great delivery. Was I in Walcott's corner? Who do you think helped him on with his glove?
He wore just one glove?
Sure. In the other hand, he held a rear-view mirror. I made a bet on that one. I lose. Mr. Gallup, I will let you in on a little secret. Joe Louis was afraid to win that fight. He was scared stiff.
Joe Louis was scared?
Well, who wouldn't be? Just before he went into the ring, they told him if he won, he'd have to fight John Garfield.
Oh, now, tell me, do you think John Garfield could beat Joe Louis?
Beat him? Are you kidding? Did you see Garfield in Body and Soul? Why, John Garfield could beat Joe Louis with both Warner Brothers tied behind his back. And you stand there with your low basal metabolism hanging out. And you ask me, can John Garfield fight? Let me repeat that for the West Coast. By the way, Mr. Gallup, were you at the fight Friday night?
Friday night?
Yeah.
Berle, are you mad?
Well, I just asked. What's with Friday night?
Why, that was Rimsky-Korsakov night at my club.
Ooh, it was?
Yes, the Mount Kisco Mendelssohn and Mandolin Club.
Mount Kisco, Mendelssohn, and... Oh, that's jazzy. Oh, that's humdingerish. What happens at your meetings?
Well, the meeting opens with an hour or two of magic lantern slides...
Yes?
...showing the Danube at various stages of the tide.
Yes?
And then comes the highlight of the meeting.
What is it?
Yasha Heifetz takes out his violin, out of the case, that is, and plays the Flight of the Bumblebee. Most unusual.
What's unusual about Yasha Heifetz playing the Flight of the Bumblebee?
He plays it with just the case.
With just the case? Well, I think if he plays his cards right, he can get a shot on We the People. Or get shot by We the People. And what the... Get shot by the We the People. All right, I'm not hope. And, what happens next at your meetings?
Well, we all get busy with our pencils and paper and work on our big music contest.
You have a music contest?
Yes. They're giving a mink coat for the best definition of Carmen Lombardo.
Well, gee. And tell me... We're getting off to a low, aren't we? How does the meeting end?
Well, it's most impressive. Mm-hmm. We all put on our Toscanini buttons, the lights are lowered, mm-hmm. and as the organ strikes up, hail to the chief, we all face the podium where a spotlight is shining on a marble bust of Spike Jones.
You know, Mr. Gallup, sometimes I think you have as much fun as people who are alive. And now that we've chased all our listeners, listener, to another network, let us get on with the program as we salute Price Fighting. Price Fighting, the manly art of self-defense. History is studded with great fights. Corbett and Fitzsimmons, Jeffries and Johnson, Dempsey and Tunney. But where are the great fights today? Right on this program, every time my option comes up. Today, looks like it won't come up. Today, the big battles take place in great arenas. Madison Square Garden in New York. Soldiers Field in Chicago. Ciro's in Hollywood. Yes, today, that's a Hollywood joke. Yes, today, should have stayed out there. Yes, today, you reckon, yesterday, no, today.
Yesterday.
Don't go away. I want to laugh at this one. I do that to keep from getting lonesome. Today, you recognize a fighter by the badges of his trade. When you see a man on the street with cauliflower ears, a flat nose, and a dazed look on his face, it means just one thing. He was a contestant on Truth or Consequences. So tonight, we salute the mighty gladiators of the ring. Ah, Mr. Gallup, tonight takes me back to my own experience in the prize ring.
Burl, you were a fighter.
Mr. Gallup, you have never heard of Milty, the Moshaloo Mauler? It was several years ago that I was anxious to get into radio, and timidly, I opened the door of a big agent's office.
Burl, come right in.
Yes, Mr. Lassfogle. About my getting on the radio...
Burl, I'm getting you on the radio. Why am I doing this? Because I like you. I like your personality.
Yeah?
The first time I saw you, I liked you.
Yeah?
I like you now.
Yeah?
I like you.
Well, gee, that's very...
Burl, I'm sending you out to a training camp to get you into shape. I'll get you punching bags, sparring partners, purple trunks.
No, wait a minute. I want to get into radio.
Well,
yeah?
Who likes you?
You do.
Right. I like you, so listen to me.
But, sir, you...
Forget it. I like you.
Well, the next thing I knew, I was out in a training camp, doing road work, skipping rope. My agent dropped in one day while I was working out with a sparring partner.
Ow, 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 ow! Ow, take it easy. Ow.
Stop, slugger, stop.
Burl!
Oh, it's you, Mr. Lassfogle. Make him stop.
That's enough, slugger. Beat it.
Oh, all right.
Gee, Mr. Lassfogle, thanks.
You know something?
What?
I don't like him.
You don't?
No, I like you. Kill me. I like you.
Mr. Lassfogle, what's with this training? I just want to get on the radio.
Well, remember what I told you the first time I saw you? I said I was getting you on the radio.
That's right.
Remember what else I said?
What?
I like you. I like you even more now. And you know how I feel about people I like?
No.
I like them. I like you.
I don't know what to say.
Say you like me.
I like you.
I like you, too.
I like you, too.
Yeah, but I liked you first.
Well, time dragged slowly at the training camp. Then one day, I received an important telegram from Mr. Lassfogle. It said, I like you. 2 days later, I found myself sitting on a stool in the ring at Madison Square Garden as an announcer said,
and in its corner, in the purple trunks, Milty the Mauler.
Mr. Lassfogle, what is this?
Did you hear that crowd? They like you. And why not? I like you, too.
But you said...
And in this corner, weighing 370 pounds, in the leopard skin with a ring through his nose, Gorilla Gordon!
Gorilla. Let me out of here.
Gorilla, that's just a name, Burl.
The name? Then why is he sitting there eating bananas with his feet? All I wanted to do was to get on the radio.
Both men are in the center of the ring. The gorilla is winding up. Oh, I can't look. Here it comes. It's a knockout. Milty the Mauler is out cold. Ladies and gentlemen of the radio audience, maybe we can get Burl to say a few words. Mr. Burl, Mr. Burl. Mr. Burl, won't you say a few words into the microphone?
Hello, Ma. Hello, Pa. It was a great fight. Who won?
See, what did I tell you? I finally got Milton Berle on the radio. And you know why I did it?
Because you like me.
No, because I hate radio.
Oh,
I...
That was Feudin'. played by Ray Block and the Philomars Orchestra, and wonderful Ray. And Ray, do you know why you're such a success today? Because you have rhythm? No. Because you have smoothness? No. Because you have Petrillo? Yes. I'm only kidding. They got a great band of musicians, really. They eat together, travel together. Sometimes they play together. And now, I'm only kidding. You know I love you, Matt. And now, as we continue our salute to the boxing profession, we present...
Prize Fight Forum tonight. Prize Fight Forum tonight. The question,
should the next Lewis Walcott fight take place at the Roseland Ballroom.
Nothing. Thank you, Mr. Gallup. Now, let us commence with questions from the audience. Let's start with this elderly gentleman with the flashlight looking for his teeth. Yes, sir?
Mr. Burrell, I'd like to train you. I think I could make a killer out of you.
A killer? You're a fight manager?
No, I'm an exterminator.
Thank you, Hal Roach. Now, let us go on. All right, this young man in the third row wearing a strapless tuxedo. Young man, what is your name?
My name is Thomas E. Dewey.
Thomas E. Dewey?
Don't confuse me with Dewey, the governor of New York.
Oh, I won't do that.
I'm the Gabby one.
I see.
I just took the name Dewey because I wanted to get out of the public eye.
What was your name before that?
General Myers.
All right, Dewey, you have a question that has to do with fighting.
Fighting? I hate fighting. I didn't come here to fight with anybody.
I know, but...
What, are you a wise guy or something going around starting fights?
No, I just...
Why don't you pick on some on your own side instead of always fighting women and children?
Now, look...
You come one step closer and I'll knock you flatter than your jokes.
Wait a minute.
I'll pull out your tongue so far, Washington will investigate you for waving a red flag.
If you'll just...
I'll knock your chin down so low they'll think you've got the new look.
Please.
Now, your sister's brass knuckles.
Let us try to control ourselves. Let's hear from the fairer sex. All right, this lady in the aisle emptying her vacuum cleaner bag. Madam, what is your name?
Tallulah Feeney. I'm a homemaker.
And you have a question that has to do with prize fighting?
Yeah. How can I stop my husband from trying to be a fighter? He's sure getting punchy.
Your husband is a fighter?
You heard of Jersey Joe?
Yes.
My husband's Chicago Schmo.
What made your husband become a fighter?
Someone told him he's got the stuff fighters are made of.
Yes?
After his first fight, the stuff was spread all over the ring.
That's, You're joining my club tonight, aren't you? Well, that's awful.
That's the night he fought in the tournament. He got a cup.
They gave your husband a cup?
Yeah, to put his teeth in.
I get it, but why was he so anxious to fight?
He was just itching to get into the ring.
Oh, he has ring fever?
He had ring wine.
Mrs. Feeney.
You should have seen him the first night if he appeared at the garden. He was a sensation the minute he took off his robe.
He was a sensation?
Yeah, he forgot to put on his trunks.
Well, no wonder.
He's always trying to win the championship to some tournament. Last week, he finally got presented with a belt.
Around the waist?
Across the mouth.
I understand. Is your husband still fighting?
Nah. The other day, he come home in an ambulance. His bones was broke. His body was black and blue. He sure was a mess.
He got this from fighting?
Now, Christmas shopping.
Thank you, Mrs. Feeney. Thank you. And now, as a fitting climax to our form, tonight it is an honor to present a great hero of the prize ring. That mighty contender for the heavyweight title, 250 pounds of brute strength and dynamite, walloping Willie Featherfield. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Featherfield.
Thank you, Mr. Burrell. This is indeed a glorious opportunity for me to thank my many loyal fans who have so lustily cheered my fistic endeavors in the ring, out of the ring, and stretched out across it.
Tell us, Mr. Featherfield.
Excuse me, Mr. Burrell. Do you mind if I sit down? I'm pooped.
You're tired?
On the way here, I picked up a Hershey bar. I think I strained myself.
But, Mr. Featherfield, a Hershey bar isn't heavy.
Well, this one had nuts in it.
Well, Mr. Featherfield, will you tell us a little about how you started in the ring?
Oh, I was going great, Mr. Burrell. I won my first 23 fights, then I wanted to quit.
Why?
They wanted me to fight a man.
And since then, it's been pretty tough, eh?
Mr. Burrell, I've been on the canvas more than Whistler's mother.
What seems to be your trouble?
My hands always got sore.
From hitting your opponent?
No, the referee was always stepping on them.
Oh, now, come now, Willie Featherfield. I understand you once fought the great Joe Louis.
How about that?
Yes, how about that?
Yes, Mr. Burrow, I'll never forget that night. When I got into the ring, the crowd gave me a great ovation.
A great ovation?
Yes. They didn't think I'd show up.
Oh, don't be modest, Mr. Featherfield. The records show that 10 seconds after the fight started, you had Joe Louis flat on the canvas.
Yes, he tripped over my body.
Well, what happened after that?
In the middle of the fight, I saw someone I knew in the 10th row.
Who was it?
Me.
Mr. Featherfield, just how do you explain your failure in the ring?
Well, Mr. Burrell, before every fight, the referee instructs us. No butting with the head, no scratching, kicking and biting, and no hitting below the belt.
Yes?
Mr. Burrell, those are my best punches.
Thank you, Mr. Featherfield. Thanks. Here's our young singing star, Dick Farney, to sing his latest recording.
How soon will I be seeing you? How soon I wish I really knew. And when will you be singing words I want to hear? Tender little lover, sorry old meaning clear. How soon will I be close to you and dance the way we used to do? I see your star eyes glimmering. Don't mind me if I'm dreaming. Tell me, darling, now how soon? How soon? How soon? Eyes gleaming, don't mind me if I'm dreaming. Tell me, darling, now how soon.
Wonderful, Dick. Dick Farney. Wonderful.
You know, Mr. Gallup, originally I was supposed to do the singing on this program. You didn't know that, did you?
What?
Well, two things stopped me. The sponsor's hands around my neck. The sponsor's hands around my neck. Who's out there in the audience tonight? Miss Hush? You know, Mr. Gallup, every man should learn the art of self-defense, especially against these muscular guys with strong grips. You know the type. They shake hands with you like they hadn't eaten in 6 months and your hand was a salami. And I remember not long ago, I was up at the Friars Club talking to one of these iron-fisted guys. And well, it's been nice seeing you, George. So long.
Wait, I don't like to say goodbye without shaking hands, Milty. Put it there.
Oh, no, George, some other time, please.
You refuse to shake hands with me?
No, it isn't that. I just... Well, all right, shake.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here's your hand.
Never mind, just give me back my ring and throw the rest away.
So long.
That settles it. That settles it. I've got to develop a strong grip. I'm going to find a gym. I'll show that gym. This must be the place I saw advertised. The door says Boot Benders Bodybuilding Academy. We put a muscle where you used to have a bustle. This is for me. I'm going in. Oh. Pardon me. I'm Milton.
Stop!
Yeah.
Don't move. Just let me look at you. Those bulging muscles. That magnificent body. Anyone can see that you're one of our students.
Student? I haven't even started yet.
What a disgusting mess. What's holding you up?
I'm wearing starched shorts. Look, I want to develop a very strong grip. How much money will it...
Money, money, money. Who mentioned money? All we're interested in is developing healthy bodies for the future of America.
That's right.
How much have you got?
Now, wait a minute. Stop. Wait a minute. You're ripping my pocket. I'm getting out of this clip joint. Let go of my lapel. Let go.
Mr. Burrow, your body is just crying for muscles. Step into Dr. Glucose's office right here. He'll give you a free examination. If you're healthy, go home. We don't want your money.
Well, if you're giving a free examination...
This way. Dr. Glucose, this is Milton Berle.
Lay down, I'll operate.
No, no, this guy's a butcher. Let me out of here and forget about the examination.
What? Dr. Glucose gives a beautiful examination. Doctors with licenses couldn't do better.
He hasn't got a license.
Here.
Let me out of here.
Relax, Mr. Burl. I'll measure your chest. Chest normal, 18 inches.
Chest normal, 18 inches.
Take a deep breath, Mr. Burl. Chest expanded, 12 inches.
Now, wait a minute.
Now, let's take a sample of your blood. Where's that ice pick I just had? Oh, yeah.
But, doctor, ouch!
Very strange.
Doctor, what's wrong with my blood?
It's got a head on it.
Silly. Who needs blood? All I want is a pair of strong hands. Crushing hands. I want to be able to take that gorgeous head and take it...
Easy.
And break it.
Easy.
And turn it around.
Easy,
and take
Merle,
it and take the knuckles
easy.
And...
Easy now. For $60, what hands we'll give you. You'll be able to open a Pullman window with your pinky.
That's it. That's it. I want to grab a hand, and I want to take the knuckle and break the knuckle, and take it and turn it around and break the knuckle.
Well, Mr. Burl, how's that exercise going for developing your grip?
Oh, great. Watch me. Easy, Elsie. Oh, brother, look at the size of my hands. They're like manhole covers. Oh, wait till I get a hold of that George. I'll take his hands and I'll break them with him. And I'll take it and I'll break the...
Look awful.
You're a gift. Give me my money back.
Just look at you, with those two huge hands hanging from those thin spaghetti arms of theirs.
Give me my money back.
Now, for $50, we'll guarantee you a 5.5-inch bicep. That's 5 inches more than you got now.
Biceps? That's for me. Oh, the next time I shake hands with somebody... I'll take your hand and I'll break it in. I'll take your knuckles and I'll break it in.
Now, reach up high in the air with your arms, Mr. Burl. There. Reach up higher.
How's that?
Higher.
How's that?
That's too high. Now your feet aren't touching the ground.
Yeah. Look at my arms. They're bigger than Tony Galento's neck. With my grip, I'll take that guy's hand, you know, break the muscles and...
Look terrible.
Yeah. Give me my money back.
Mr. Burr, look at yourself. With those two huge muscular arms hanging down from that weak, puny chest, you look like the entrance to a cellar.
How much for the chest?
$50 and we throw in the hair.
Chest, biceps, grip. Hey, you know, I'm getting afraid of myself.
Mr. Burl, get a load of that chest.
I think we overdid it. I'm getting to be a regular sweater Burl. Turn me loose. I'm ready. I'll take that guy's hands and I'll take it.
Wait.
Break your knuckles off.
Wait.
And
now we have to work on the legs.
The leg? Give me my money back.
But just look at your legs. They're like disappointed cows. No calves.
Okay, as long as I can take that guy's hand and I'll take it and I'll bring it. Please, let's rest just for a minute.
Earl, we must do our road work.
But we've been running steady for 7 weeks. Back in Michigan, you said I could rest when we got to Ohio. Look, it's Nebraska already.
Nebraska already?
Yes.
Okay, you can put me down.
Boy, what a brute I am. Let's get back to New York. I can't wait to spring this grip on someone. I pity the first guy I meet. I'll take his hand and I'll break it, and I'll turn his muscles and I'll break it. Well, here I am. Wait till I shake hands with that guy. I'll take his hand and I'll break the muscles. I can't wait till I meet the first guy who says hello.
Hello, Mr. Bell.
Johnny. It's little Johnny from my Philip Morris radio program. What do you say, Johnny?
I said hello, Mr. Bell.
You did? You said hello? I can't. It's a sin. See you later, Johnny. I'm looking for someone.
You know, a nice show you had last week, Mr. Bell. Let me shake your hand.
Shake my... He's kidding. Okay, you asked for it. There's my hand. Shake, Johnny.
Oh!
My hand! My hand! I'm going to get my money back. I'm going to get my money back. Got a strong grip. This is your girlfriend, Milton, saying goodnight. We're a little late. Good night, everyone.
The Milton Berle Show on Tuned to Yesterday from December 9th, 1947 on NBC. And with that, the curtain comes down on this hour of comedy. On Tuned to Yesterday, be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levionier. Thanks for listening.